All right, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 32 of the Porchcast. We are coming to you today. Well, that's a great sign. We're coming to you today from Avanti Food and Beverage, episode 32, joined once again by my co-hosts, Hunter Grondin.
Heyo.
And Jesse Brookstein.
Howdy.
We are well-versed in everything, and we are ready to go. I'm really excited about this episode. We're kind of getting back to basics. We had a really awesome episode 31 up in New Belgium, recording with Lauren Salazar, Andy Parker, and Gert Christians.
That's right.
Yeah. Ud Biersel. And they taught us a little bit about sours. So if you haven't listened to that, be sure to go back and check it out. And also be sure to follow us on iTunes and follow us on any of the streaming devices that you listen to so that you can follow us. We have more episodes coming to you soon. Before we dive right into it here with Jason Snopkowski, I want to give a plug to our sponsors. A big thank you to the wonderful people that support this show. First up is First Draft Tap Room and Kitchen, located at 1309 26th Street. It's a pour-your-own draft system, beer bar that showcases a tremendous selection of beers. This month, they're celebrating Sour Month, so they've got some crazy stuff from Russian River, Wicked Weed, a host of other tremendous, really great sour breweries. And you can go in and try as many or as little beers as you want, and as much or as little beer as you want, because you pour your own beers. It's basically the adult version of Froyo. First Draft Taproom and Kitchen. Also, a big thank you to our friends over at Latitude Financial. While many of you out there are stowing away bottles of bourbon, barrel-aged stouts, and barrel-aged wilds, it's equally important to stow away some money. Saving more money and paying off your debts are two of the biggest New Year's resolutions from a financial standpoint. Do it the smart way. Go to latitudefinancialgroup.com to get off to the right start in 2017. Start saving money and lowering your taxes today. Go to latitudefinancialgroup.com to schedule a complimentary meeting now. That's latitudefinancialgroup.com. All right, let's dive right into it. Jason, how's it going?
Going great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show. We wanted to come out and chat with you because I think a lot of people are familiar with Avanti. You guys have an awesome concept here. But there's also still some people out there who aren't maybe as familiar or maybe plan on visiting Denver soon and want to check it out. Personally, this is one of my favorite places to hang out. It's kind of a mixed conglomeration of things. Tell us a little bit more about the concept.
Yeah, Avanti is essentially a collective eatery or an incubator concept. So what that means is we have seven restaurants in the building. They all sign short-term leases, so they're 9 months to 2 years. And then we stagger them, so there's constantly a new influx of restaurants coming in. We've been open for about a year and a half, and we've had four new restaurants. Mm-hmm. So we still have three of the originals here. And then, you know, as time goes on, we'll have a couple more coming in the spring and early summer. And then bar-wise, you know, so Avanti Food and Beverage essentially owns the building, owns the rights to the bar, and then we lease out the space to the restaurants. So those bars, though, we have 2.5 bars in the building and do a lot of fun stuff. We have a lot of different food, a lot of different guests that come in the building. So we need to have a nice mix of cocktails, wine, and, of course, beer.
Yeah, absolutely. You all have a tremendous selection of Dogfish Head beer. I know that's one thing that I really love about Avanti. But you also showcase some really great local stuff. Tell us about, you know, that partnership with Dogfish Head. You all get some really neat stuff that doesn't always make it out this way from Dogfish. What do you guys have on right now that's really interesting? I know I tried Chalk Lobster here a couple months back. It was a beer brewed with lobsters, and that was really, really interesting and cool. But, yeah, tell us about how you guys got involved with Dogfish Head.
Yeah, we're all Colorado craft beer with the exception of Dogfish. So mm-hmm. We like to spend a lot of time showcasing local breweries. It's not always easy because we only have 20 taps. 20 of those taps, or 8 of those 20 taps happen to be Dogfish, mm-hmm. and that's because one of our managing partners grew up with Sam from Dogfish.
Yeah.
So we're kind of the quasi-official headquarters for Dogfish.
The Rocky Mountain Outpost.
Exactly. It is. You know, and they send us some special stuff. Sam comes out every year during GABF, and he spends a couple hours in the building doing a meet and greet with our guests. And, you know, it's a great partnership. At our core, we really like to have beer partners as opposed to just being an establishment to sell beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I know it's... with you guys here, Ratio is one of our huge partners, you know, and it's, we like to focus on big guys like Dogfish, you know, who do great things in New Belgium, who we have really close ties with, but then at the end of the day, we also have some smaller breweries who we really love, like Ratio.
Yeah.
In the building.
Awesome. And Hunter, I know you're a big fan of coming out to Avanti. What's one of your favorite food offerings here?
Food offerings, yeah. Right now? That's a good question. I'm an oyster lover. So right now I'm feeling the regional right now with their oyster and chicken.
Yeah.
And then what's that way back? American grind. Yeah, American with their grind. Burger selection is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a solid go-to burger. There's like, it's a flawless burger.
So you're a big oyster guy.
I'm a huge oyster guy. Two dozen is my
being a landlocked sit down record. Foco,
yeah.
Born and bred.
Well, 24 was in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Wait, so 24 is your limit? That's your
count? No, that's my record. That's my like 30-minute hour oyster crushing record.
I think you could probably do more.
Oh, yeah, I could do more. I wasn't trying.
Yeah.
I wasn't even trying. I was just doing it.
A lot more from you.
How does your oyster consumption tie in with your new
health kick? Oh, my new health kick? Oysters is that's not. I'm just
pretty
going,
healthy.
Yeah, it's pretty healthy. Yeah, we'll get into Hunter's health kick here in a little bit because that's one of the more interesting things that I want to focus on this episode. But Jesse, what about you? Have you gotten a chance to explore some of the culinary offerings here at Avanti?
I have indeed. There was one. Was it Farmer Girl? That's gone at this
Farmer
point.
Farmer Girl's gone. Yeah, they were pretty amazing. And again, we. Just like we have beer partners, the restaurants are our partners as well. And Farmer Girl opened a brick and mortar.
They did.
And it flew a little bit north of here. I forget which town. It was going back a little ways. But they flew. And so it was one of those things where they were having trouble managing two brand new concepts,
right,
you know, in different locations. So they essentially bought out of the lease,
right,
and went on to focus on their brick and mortar in an amicable way.
Well, that's
yeah,
great. That's exactly what you would want from
from
an incubator standpoint, is for them to be able to succeed and grow. I mean, for me, Kiro Arepas is probably my favorite.
Yeah, that was my original go-to.
Yeah, I come in here and get the chicken, the shredded chicken arepas with avocado on it, and it's just like
the sushi spot upstairs. The name I don't know. I can't remember.
Bamboo
is also solid.
Yeah. For sure.
Bamboo is a group out of Portland. Everybody here is for they're all here for different reasons. Some of them are local chefs who are having their first go at it, you know, and it's a lot less overhead to come into a place like this than to go and build a brick and mortar, you know, and experiment that way. So we have a lot of local chefs. We have some like Bamboo. They're from out of town. You know, they want to open. They have six standalone restaurants in Portland. They're a big name in Portland, Oregon. And they're coming to Denver with a brick and mortar. So coming into Avanti was a nice way to get to know the community and have the community get to know them.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it is solid. Yeah.
And I drink a lot here. Don't let the
yeah,
the,
a lot
the
of
name current food.
Yes.
People that
bourbon and bananas. Bourbon and bananas.
I drink a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Currently, today, started right out of the gate with a double fist.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Bourbon and bananas and repeater. Boom.
That doesn't surprise me, Hunter.
He's on a health kick.
Yeah.
He's
on a health kick.
We will get
bananas.
Into
bananas are healthy.
Bananas and bourbon.
Yeah.
It cancels out.
You've got the fruit aspect, and then you've got the
it's way more
the bourbon aspect.
Just a little bit of bourbon.
With a repeater back.
Yes, it does.
So, Snap, you have you're actually at a couple events with us recently, and that's what I kind of want to dive into first is we were up at New Belgium recording with Lauren, Andy, and Gert. You were at the Sour Seminar. Tell us a little bit about what that experience was like, what you learned from that. For me, personally, it was a really interesting kind of a seminar lesson in kind of breaking down the nuances of sours.
Not only the nuances, but also the history of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of times you're drinking a style of beer in a new up-and-coming brewery, and you don't actually know the roots of it. So it was kind of cool to see some of the history that goes on with it, and having the head of the sour programs from Oud Beersel, Avery, and New Belgium is in one room is, you know, it's like doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
Nope.
And our podcast, I apologize to listeners out there if we were a little stiff. I think we were all kind of in awe of this.
A little bit like mesmerized.
Yeah.
It's like with the kind of like brewery talent all there in a row. It's like, I don't know how to, I just listen.
I know, Jesse, you rifled off a bunch of stuff to mention with Andy. We didn't get to any of the
Skyline
Chili.
No, he calls himself Hollywood. He says meow a lot.
I didn't even say meow. I didn't hear meow. I was looking for the meows. I did not hear a meow. Boy.
Springsteen.
Yeah.
He did talk about Springsteen.
So much fucking material.
Yeah, I froze up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. We all were kind of stunned. Hunter was waiting to be shushed by Lawrence to the Salazar again.
Didn't get shushed.
Yeah. What did we taste? Six to eight different beers, and some of them weren't actually sours. It was, they had the qualities of a sour.
Called sour beers, exactly. Yeah. So the general talk was not. Well, it was basically saying they're referencing bitter beers. A lot of people say I don't like bitter. I don't like hoppy beers. And people say the same thing about sours. I don't like sour beers, without even knowing that the different variations of sours and how you can break them down and categorize them. And right now they're just a lot of times just put into one single category without any respect. Yeah, to all the styles that are out there.
Yeah, I thought Snap. I think you made a good point there. The fact that the first beer that they offered was Lilikoi Kapolo, which a lot of people would assume would be a sour beer, but it really is, like you were saying, the sour flavors, or the actually tart flavors that
come from passion fruit.
Yeah. And so you can get those tart kind of acidic flavors just from ingredients that are within the beer, but really for it to be sour, there's so many different nuances. There's mixed fermentation, there's wild bacteria, there's wild yeast, there's also blending of different sour beers to create these new creations. There's lambics, there's creeks, there's all these sub categories that fall under that designation.
And yeah, we call them all sours.
Yeah. Right. We're the only place, apparently, the only beer culture in the world that really just lumps them into this collective
sours. Not all bitter beers are IPAs.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Which is why, as a bartender, you know, we go through that challenge every night, of I don't like gin, I don't like sour beers, I don't like this, I don't like that.
Sure.
So it's kind of nice to be armed with knowledge of that way.
So you can help to educate. Helps us.
Yeah, we already try really hard to educate our guests and say, hey, you know, just try it before you say you don't like it, because you might love this sour. You know, you try a Goza or a baby sour, and the person might love it.
Yeah.
You get a little Berliner Weiss, and all of a sudden they're like, well, I really like this. Well, it's what you would call a sour beer.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely. Now, I saw you this weekend as well, also at New Belgium for Lost in the Woods.
How much fun was that?
That was insane. For those who aren't familiar, Lost in the Woods is probably one of the more unique beer events out here, and in my opinion, one of the more robust in terms of an experience. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was amazing, man.
Was it your first time up there?
No, not to Lost in the Woods. First time at Lost in the Woods. I didn't even know what it was, you know.
Yeah.
And I saw it come up on Facebook, you know, my buddy Dayton, who's my guy in New Belgium. I was like, what the heck is this? And he's like, you want some tickets? He's like, you should go. It's a great party.
Yeah.
And I ended up there with my wife and saw you there. You know, the best way for me to describe it is I grew up in the late 90s. You know, I was a teenager in the late 90s, and it was like rave culture all over again, but done in a classy way. with world class beers. You know, they had.
They transformed their fooder for us, which is just this giant warehouse filled with large wooden fooders that store a lot of their sour bases, their Felix and their Oscar.
We call it a warehouse, though.
Yeah. But they turn it into
a hanger.
Somebody that designed that might take a little bit.
It's a large hanger. it's essentially they turn it into this woodland experience and decorate it with like trees.
Like
and
what was up with the owl?
Yeah, there was a giant owl.
Amazing. With eyes that changed.
Like, who built that? I saw a bunch of videos. I'm like, who built that? Peter. Yeah.
Two side DJs project. Essentially, it's a big celebration to launch their annual sour release.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so, not just that. I think there were a couple that they released.
Yeah.
The 2017 edition of their sours.
Ratio's going to have an eagle.
Which they're going to.
We're going to one up them. Okay. Eagle will rip the shit out of that owl.
It's just going to be a class warfare of
Loveless release
aviary
next
creatures.
Eagle.
I don't know. You're more like the raven.
The raven.
More
dark. I like
the
siren, like the whole eagle. It's my
spirit. Yeah, it's not you. It's called Arnold.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I think one of the coolest parts of that is seeing some of the New Belgium celebrities, just mingling around with everybody. Peter, you were mentioning Peter Buchart.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny. We were hanging out with him and his wife for a good portion of it. And out of nowhere, we were looking at our photo booth photos. Peter's wife had just totally photobombed our awesome. Group's photo awesome. For like three of the photo shots. And I was like, all right, this is happening.
Yep.
Peter Buchart's wife just photobombed
good
us.
Good people.
And then she also broke it down on the dance floor with my buddy David. And that was hilarious.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you have people fully dressed up in all sorts of costumes. It was a white party, so everybody was dressed in white for the most part. Mm-hmm. But some people went all out. They were like full costumes, and it was pretty incredible.
I totally would have busted out the ghost pepper.
Oh, yeah. Tell people about the ghost pepper.
Oh, the ghost pepper? Just
Hunter's infamous Halloween costume.
I lived up this year with a big, I actually carried around like the red chili lights. Like they're, I don't know which holiday lights, but they had the little chili peppers on them.
Yeah.
So I wore those as like a huge like necklace. And then I couldn't find a battery pack. So I just had to stay next to outlets all night and like plug in when I was ready. And I just wore the classic white sheet ghost costume. Of course, I got a third hole for my mouth so I can drink beers all night, and then a sombrero
and sunglasses
to cover up my eyes. Of course, black eyes. Yeah.
How'd you get a battery pack?
Ghost pepper. I looked. The chili lights are actually so old that like it's just a regular two prong plug in.
Gotcha.
I found new lights with the battery pack, but
okay.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite guys. Full dog costume with a spotted face.
It's kind of creepy. Oh, yeah. That's like out of a horror movie.
Standing outside of a room,
stabbing somebody
next to a window with a million people watching him. You know, just doing a Michael Jackson pose with a beer in his hand, drinking out of a straw into his little dog costume face.
It's pretty good.
It's phenomenal.
Yep.
You know, so it was that kind of party.
Yeah, and then also at the party, we got to try a number of newer or rare beers that we haven't really seen yet. You had a French oak aged Saison. You also had Air on the Side of Caution, which was probably my favorite beer of the evening, mostly because of the unique story behind it. I don't know if you all are familiar with this beer, but
not familiar at all.
Essentially, the story goes that there was one of the original barrels that held La Folie, and for some reason, they didn't really find a use for it anymore after using it a number of times, and someone decided to ship it to Vinny at Russian River without telling Lauren Salazar. When she found out, she was like, oh my gosh, what did you do? This was like one of our original barrels. And so this barrel, PH1, got sent to Russian River. They used it for a number of beers. They ended up sending it back to New Belgium. And then New Belgium, I think they brewed, or they helped, used it to hold Felix or Oscar for a few more times. And then someone decided to send it to friends at the Rare Barrel. And then they used the barrel as well, sent it back to New Belgium, and did kind of a collaboration blend of the two. So
That's pretty rad. Yeah.
Lineage of
damn
of
New
barrels.
Belgium.
Yeah.
Always ahead of the
game. Doing so many cool things.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
They're going through a lot of changes now in terms of, they're just so good at being a large brewery and going global,
sure,
and yet still kind of staying true to their roots. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my favorite beers up there that night is La Folie.
Mm-hmm.
And for Avanti, it's kind of exciting because they're not going to release La Folie to just everybody anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So there's six restaurants, I think, in Denver that are going to get it.
Oh.
And instead of just getting two kegs every quarter, it's going to be year-round. So we're going to be one of six places that have La Folie on draft year-round.
That's super exciting.
Yeah. So we're going to do probably a little kickoff party for that, and probably in the beginning of March.
Okay.
And I don't know, we don't know what the theme is yet, but I kind of want to do a mini version of what we saw up there at Lost in the Woods.
Totally.
And I think we were able to actually secure some of the fun little toys that they had that night.
Oh, man.
So it should be cool.
That's exciting. And you were saying that Kim Jordan, one of the co-founders of New Belgium, was just up here earlier today, right?
Yeah, we work a lot with the Eat Denver crew, mm-hmm. kind of ties our restaurant community together.
Sure.
And they have monthly meetings, and Kim was the guest speaker today, and she was talking about brand and as a business owner, what does your brand mean? And so many business owners think that brand is, it's what you put on your letterhead, it's your marketing, and her, the root of her story was that brand to New Belgium is essentially the core values, and anything they put out on the street as what New Belgium is, starts out with their values first and foremost, you know. So anything you see in advertising is really backed up by the root of what they are as a company and what they believe in as people.
Cool.
Kind of cool.
I think it shows.
Yeah, without
a
doubt.
I've been a Belgium junkie for as long as I can remember. And yeah, that's all I thought it shows. Tour de Fat. Thank
I
you.
I just saw you guys up there doing a podcast
last
week
and going up. I'm always always pumped to go up in New Belgium. Yeah.
When I walk in the building up there, you know, from other breweries.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that's really cool about Colorado is a lot of the big regionals that have come out of our state still keep that authenticity from ska to Avery to Odell, New Belgium. Like, you know, the brewery that got bought out, Breckenridge, always felt, sorry guys, kind of like they would be the brewery that got bought out.
Yep. The tourist attraction.
Yeah. They had been big, and they had big restaurant groups for a while. So,
yep.
But those four I just referenced, like, still you can walk in there and still very much so feel like it was a brewery that was just opened 5-10 years ago, just with massive, beautiful tap rooms.
And they accomplished that by sticking on brand and telling
that
story and...
And being true to their ethos and who they are as a company, and the owners have always been really genuine people. So
that's a perfect segue real quick. I want to touch on another one of our sponsors real quick. Made by Chalk over here, located right down the street in the Rhino District. Chalk specializes in creating brand experiences for the craft brewing industry. So if you're a craft brewery out there, or perhaps you're just a small business owner and still are trying to identify your brand identity, or trying to nail down your brand identity, looking for websites, apps, maybe events, Chalk services are tailored for independently owned craft breweries, maltsters, industry-related consumer products. If you're looking for a premium brand and web development experience, visit madebychalk.com. So they'll help to create any of those for any of your small businesses.
Very cool.
And yeah, fits right into what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Kind of pivoting over to still staying on topic of kind of mid-sized regional breweries. This is kind of the time of year where we turn to some of the bigger rare beer releases. You have Pliny the Younger. You have Hopslam that just recently came out. How do you guys feel about this hoopla that surrounds certain big beer releases? Are you of the ilk that will go out there and actually wait in line to try to get a taste of a rare beer? Or is it something where if it happens, it happens, if it doesn't, it doesn't? Or are you actively, you know, like avoiding that kind of a crowd?
Yeah,
Jesse,
I don't want to sound like too much of a beer hipster, but I really don't get into that shit.
Nope.
Well,
being in the beer industry, sometimes that kind of stuff just lands in your lap, too.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, I get, don't get me wrong, I get excited about rare beers. And, like, when you're talking about Lawfully being on tap, you're like, I'm going to come down and taste that. It's just, I don't know, I think it's just my palate is a big part of it. I really just like going to Bierstadt and drinking, like, a clean pills.
Yeah.
I really
their lagers are so good.
Ratio,
right now.
Having like Rented World, you know, like I'm a pale ale.
Shameless plug, Rented World will be on here all summer. As
ooh,
well.
Snap.
start out with one of those.
See, it's my guys. Shameless plugs.
I can't. Maybe it's just having drank. We've all drank like a lot of good beer. I'd be like, I don't know. There's just no beer out there that I can imagine would be so mind-blowing for me just to go gaga over it. And
sure.
Like, I think there's just so many phenomenal beers that go unsung to have certain beers get so much hype.
Totally. And would you say that's a local kind of local thing? Because I had a Hop Slam last night because I was there. It was available and I went for it. And I did it because I just knew it was a limited time. But right after I had it, I'm like, it's great. But the amount of amazing beers that are in Denver right now,
right,
and it's going to continue to grow. It's just like the hype is not that cool to me anymore.
Okay, well, how about this? Has there been a specific rare beer that any of you all have been actively trying to pursue, or in the past you really were trying to seek out just so that you could actually get a taste of glory?
There's always beer that's on my radar. You know, the first time I saw Pliny the Elder in the store, of course I went for it. You know, the first time somebody offered me a one of Alchemist's beers,
sure.
You know. But for me, it's like I work so much, I'm here so often, and we really only deal with Colorado craft beers that I'm always constantly seeking out new guys, like Hunter was saying. You know, when I really geek out on rare beers is when I go back to Connecticut, where I'm from.
Sure.
You know, my brothers are definitely hop heads.
Yeah.
So they'll, you know, as you know, we're in the industry, so it's a little different. But, you know, for guys like them who are in the industry, my brothers will drive 2 hours, you know, from Connecticut up to Boston to go to Trillium or to Treehouse,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so when I go home, they have stuff waiting in the fridge. And I'm, you know, that's stuff that I would probably, you know, drive for with them. You know, out here, it's like...
Oh, shucks, you're just not over there, so you'll just have to drink it with them.
I have the beautiful opportunity of working at Avanti, and, yeah. and it's like, you know, rare beers kind of come to me sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know, when Sam comes out for GABF, we typically do what's called the 120-minute happy hour with them.
Oh, man, insane.
And we do flights of vintage 120-minute IPA.
That's,
you know, so
crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty fun.
I think at one of the events that you all had, I got to try a vintage of Worldwide Stout, and it just was insanity. It was
07,
crazy.
08.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a young vintage.
We're,
talking,
about
some
like
stuff
old
that's
school.
Got some age
out of it. Like before I graduated college vintage. Yeah.
Kind of fun. Now you're making me feel old.
Crazy.
No, but what about you all? Do you all have any like rare beers that you really wanted to track down?
I go after the local stuff, to be honest, and I use my connections.
Yeah,
you know, as Jesse was saying, with like beer shots,
Station
26.
I remember you pulling some
of
that stuff.
Beers come out. I hit up, you know, Rep Chelsea over there. I'm like, hey,
would
you just pull some? Even with Cold Arms, with Jesse, I'd be like, when release happens, say, Jesse, what's up, dude?
Yeah,
will you pull some?
Yeah, Jesse always tends to hear from Hunter when their carriage is series.
Yeah.
Carriage House
I'm
series.
Coming in. I'm gonna pay for it.
I just say like a brewery like Perennial, like they just make killer beer.
Yeah,
so,
Abraxas.
Yep.
Abraxas. Yeah, and that beer is sick, but like, you know,
I have a funny story about
Abraxas. Beautiful, like a flower and the white label on it.
Fleur de Lis.
Yeah, like very approachable, but just like so delicious and sump.
Or
like, Saison. So delicious. Yeah, Saison. Yeah. And, like, so those are ones I really get excited about, but they're readily available, so I don't know.
Yeah, I actually bought a bottle of Abraxas recently, and it's funny because it was the last bottle. It was at Mondo Vino, and I saw it. I was like, oh, awesome. I was like, is this the last one? They're like, yeah. And you know what's funny? It all flew except for that one. I'm like, why?
Huh.
And they're like, the label's
the
crinkled. The label is crinkled.
Oh,
and they're
no
like,
way.
No one wants to
it's
buy the last one. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, they all flew. Like, okay. I peeled the label off. Put it right back on.
And then you instantly took a Snapchat of it.
Yeah, no, it was like, I brought it to a party where it's Steamboat. It's actually on New Year's. That's where we cracked it. But yeah, people that I was with had never tried it. I'm like, you should. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it was funny that sat there because of like a fold over on the label.
Kind of a fun thing, not to digress, but you just brought up Station 26, and
mm-hmm.
I didn't even think of it earlier when you were asking about what's on the radar of up-and-coming things. But at Eat Denver, they... Last fall, you know, when we did a beat saison,
yep, yep.
Eat Denver brewed a beer with Ratio Brewing,
uh-huh.
and it went on to celebrate as the Harvest Week beer for the Harvest Week celebration.
Mm-hmm.
It was so successful, you know, people loved it so much, and they loved the idea of a collection of restaurants brewing a beer together with a local brewery
mm-hmm.
that Eat Denver has decided to do that quarterly,
mm-hmm.
and we're working hard with them right now. We're doing a beer with Station 26.
Oh, fuckers.
In conjunction with Eat Denver, and we've had our initial planning meetings, but Avanti is going to be. Avanti's.
Uh-oh, Hunter's homerism comes through.
Oh no, it was a fun project.
It might come back around.
I'm really happy for Station. I knew they were doing it. Chelsea told me, and I was like, "God, that's great. You guys are gonna have a lot of fun." I'm glad that we were able to be the first and help make it successful, because any brewery that gets to do this project, it's gonna be great.
And it flew. The beer flew here.
Yeah.
I think we initially said we'd get 2 or 3 kegs, and we ended up blowing through 6 of it. And so we've asked for 6 this time on the new collaboration. It's gonna be called Collaboration Station. And it's going to be a white IPA.
Cool.
That's
done
awesome.
In Station 26 style. And it's going to be at the Collaboration Festival.
Have you met Wayne over there yet at Station?
I met Wayne.
Wayne is awesome.
We sat with him.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
He is great.
He's never going to listen to this.
He's never going to listen. Yeah,
this is like one small thing, too. But I think in this market, we're really lucky, like places like Avanti and like Hops and Pie and Fresh Craft and stuff.
Hops
like,
and Pie kills it.
You don't have to seek
mm-hmm.
out
oh, yeah.
bottles so much, because they just have awesome beers on
tap. Oh, yeah.
All the time.
You know, you don't buy, like, may I try Ding Ding Ding? And then, like, you've kind of knocked 3 things off your list.
And Hops and Pie is a great spot, because, you know, we're only doing Colorado stuff. They get stuff from all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Stuff, you know, my brothers will look at the menu online. You know, they're out in Connecticut. They look at it, and they're like, how does Hops and Pie have this beer. We can't get it in Connecticut and hopsify it.
GLAMOROUS. Yeah. It's that glamorous account.
Goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
We're sorry for that.
If you guys want to hit up Hunter for your karaoke parties or any events, he's available. He'll scare away all your children.
I only sing Fergie, though. I only sing Fergie. And actually,
only sing Fergie.
Yeah, just glamorous.
Okay,
yeah.
All
right.
Good to know.
Yeah, it's that glamour account, I'm telling you.
You were talking about kind of East Coast stuff. Treehouse was definitely one for me that I really wanted to try. Last time I was back in Boston visiting my buddy Gabe, he took care of me big time and got me some of the juicy IPAs from Treehouse. It was awesome. Yeah. And then for me, one of the longtime kind of whales or kind of
Heady Topper.
Well, not Heady. Well, I had Heady Topper, but for me personally, it was Side Project, and that's not so much far East Coast, more like Midwest, but. What Corey King has created over there at Side Project is really amazing. You know, he came from Perennial, like we were talking about earlier, and decided to do a spinoff and branch out into some of his own stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of wilds, a lot of sours, and really, really tremendous stuff. Got to try it at What the Funk 2 years ago. So
I haven't had the pleasure of trying
this. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, let's take a little quick break just to plug our sponsors once more. I want to say a big thank you to Latitude Financial Group. Once again, while you're out there saving up a lot of those rare beers, you're probably hoarding a bunch of stuff to keep in your cellar. Maybe it's a bunch of rare stuff.
I got some bottles I'm sitting on.
Yeah, absolutely. And
it's important to save some money, too, though, right?
It's very important to save some money. You got it. You should be doing these reads for us.
I'm on it.
What's saving money?
Saving money so that you can buy even more bottles.
Whiskey.
Yeah. But be sure to turn to Latitude Financial Group if you have any questions or want to meet with them to talk about how to pay off debt or plan for the new year. Do it the smart way. Go to latitudefinancialgroup.com to get to the right start 2017. Start saving money and lowering your taxes today. Tax day's coming up, guys. That's
ouch. I mean, taxes are done.
Not something that we.
I got my refund back.
You already got your refund back.
Hell yeah, man.
You already blew it at El Camino, didn't you?
January 23rd. Damn it. Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, that's why you need Latitude Financial Group. You need to not only learn how to save more on taxes, but also how to save all of those tax refunds to go towards something good.
Tacos.
So tacos, yeah.
Tacos Latitude is a good place to put your money.
Oh, yeah.
LatitudeFinancialGroup.com. Schedule a complimentary meeting now, LatitudeFinancialGroup.com. Also, a big plug, a big shout-out to our friends over at First Draft Taproom and Kitchen. They also have a great selection of beers. Really, really tremendous stuff. But the great thing is that you can go in and sample a little or as much as you want from their taps. They have about 40 taps, and you can pour your own beer. It's kind of like the adult version of Froyo. They're located at 1309 26th Street in the heart of Rhino in Denver, Colorado. That's First Draft Taproom and Kitchen. All right, one of the more storied beer programs in the world just announced recently that they're opening up shop in the United States. They haven't had a brewery in the U.S. in, I think, around 70 years or so. It's Guinness. They announced that they're opening.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
What do you guys love Guinness.
Yeah.
Like Guinness for a long time.
If anybody says something bad about Guinness, I'm going to punch him in the
face. Yeah, I've been drinking Guinness.
Probably the most well-known worldwide, you know, available beer that is one of my favorites. Perennially.
Yeah.
I can't pronounce that.
Understandable.
Any country you go to, you get a Guinness, and it's usually pretty delicious, even if it's foreign extra. You know?
Now, how do you feel, though, about Guinness kind of diverting from their nitro kind of beer and also expanding into, I think, a nitro IPA? And also they announced with the opening of this U.S. brewery, kind of opening up more styles.
So, yeah, I guess I'm fascinated on two levels. I read, like, 3-4 years ago that they were going to close St. James Gate altogether.
Yeah.
So I guess that changed.
Yeah.
That was something with the lease, right? Or
I don't even know. The 200-year lease that they
was
had.
Coming up or something. I don't know.
But in this article that I read about this, and I only knew about it because you sent it over, it sounds like they're focusing on their new American-focused craft segment for this new brewery.
Yeah.
And I don't know a single person that buys these. I'm sorry, Guinness. Like,
excuse me, is anyone listening?
Guinness beer it's not gonna is work. Good, but like this craft IPA that they built, who the hell's buying it?
Not gonna, I can't say not, I've had anything. You know, the only non-regular Guinness draft that I've not had is Four and Extra. You know?
Yeah.
You know, you go to Jamaica and that's what you drink, either that or Red Stripe, and I drink those Four and Extras all day.
And the blonde?
Which, I was actually just down there, and I feel like they kind of changed the formula on that. It didn't taste like I remembered, you know, from my previous visits.
And this reminds me, I was at the liquor store the other day, and I think they're trying to make, like, a four-pack of more, like, crafty stuff, and it was, like, $14 or something ridiculous. Like
from Guinness?
I believe so. Wow. Don't quote me on that. But it was some big brand that was trying to get the craft segment, and it was wildly overpriced, kind of like a Stone four-pack. Mm. But I don't know. I made 70 jobs. That seems like a small amount too for
fairly small operation. Yes.
I don't know. It's one of those things. A lot things happen in larger corporation beer in within the beer business. And I have to like think to myself like, whose idea was that?
Yeah.
Like, are they fired by now? Like, I don't understand like how that ever passed. I mean, certain beers come out. I'm like, did everyone look at the brewer and they're like. Yeah, that's really good.
How many Transformers movies are
they on? How many Transformers movies? Oh, they got Marky Mark, so they can go for forever.
Oh, dude, he's like a fucking hero. Boston. If he was there, he would have stopped the whole bomb.
If they put Marky Mark with Guinness and Guinness IPA, they might have a chance. I hope they don't hear this podcast.
This next Transformers movie is sponsored completely by Guinness.
Yeah, Marky Mark is crushing Guinness IPAs.
But Guinness moving to the States again is kind of a sign of what's going on in our industry. Like New Belgium's now in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Oscar Blues has been down there.
And it might be for a freshness thing. I really do think that they're trying to tap into the American craft beer market.
I think so too.
This is not what they. If I was a betting man, which I am. Month to month.
Probably not.
I don't think it's
going to
work.
So they could use the resources to continue to buy up small beers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or one thing that they've always done that I love before I even was geeky about beer, it's like I've been bartending for almost 20 years, and the Guinness guys would come around once a year and spot check your restaurant. So I worked at steakhouses, and inevitably I would get the guest check, and it would come back and have a Guinness stamp of approval. That our Guinness was good, and it's like that kind of quality control always appealed to me.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty good.
Oh, that's really
pretty
interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well,
it feels a lot like Boston beer, in my opinion. I think that Boston beer recently got into the Nitro IPA game and trying to introduce a bunch of weird, bizarre flavors that don't really make a ton of sense when really you should be sticking to your bread and butter.
Right.
And so that's where I draw that comparison.
You owe me a Boston Lager, by the way.
I do owe you a Boston Lager. That's true.
It's a really good comparison. I hadn't thought about that. And I respect the hell out of Boston beer, right?
Yeah.
But it seems like they're kind of...
But when they try to go out of their zone,
right.
That's when it doesn't feel as authentic. Or
like shitty branding and their IPA stuff. Yeah. Like, that's definitely out of their
zone. Yeah, you got to do you all the time, no matter what industry. Like, do you, focus on what you do best, and crush it.
Okay, speaking of doing you, Hunter, before we close out the show,
it.
What is the deal? Tell us a little bit about your new health kick. I saw you limping around the brew house the other day. Tell us what's going on. I want to know because as we enter kind of the tail end of the season for sweets, you know, we're getting into Valentine's Day coming up. You got sweets, you got sweet beers, you got dessert beers, you got lots of chocolate. And you're over here bucking tradition, cutting back on drinking.
Yeah,
so
you're running now.
You're walking
well,
into
you
a
didn't,
double fisting today.
If all of you, I got two beers. I haven't had a drink today. That was my two.
Okay.
A cocktail.
What's your regimen? What do you got going on?
Yeah.
Well, if you guys didn't know, I once was a highly, highly, highly trained non-professional athlete. And I enjoyed those days, and that was roughly a decade ago.
What sports did you play?
I played football. Football was my primary sport, soccer and baseball.
52-yard kick in practice.
I did. You got quite the memory.
Thanks, buddy.
No pads, but I did. I hit it.
Right.
I drilled
52
it.
Yards is
52
yards.
Yeah, college, high school ball. Okay. But anyways, I've been in since then. I think I've worked out well, up until this week, like three times. I've been in denial.
I saw you carry some kegs up our steps the other
kegs?
Day.
Kegs? I'm keg trained.
It's not even something.
I'm keg trained. But when it comes to just competing in sports, which I do love, I love to compete, I love to win. I'm losing some ground.
Yeah. Hunter regales us on a weekly basis in the summertime about his softball exploits. So,
oh yeah, three bombs last year.
Three bombs.
Three bombs. Yeah.
So you're trying to
man size fences too.
You're trying to juice. Are you roiding out? Are you gonna?
Are you doing roids?
I would. Why?
Hunter, is this an intervention?
I don't know. I have cameras on. I could roid up.
We're gonna have a 5K in April. That's Lawrence. If you want to join us.
Yeah.
Does Ratio test for?
So
yeah, has Ratio been testing for steroids?
I would quit if they did.
That answers a lot of questions.
Just both set of my private.
No wonder he's able to slide so many kegs up and down the stairs.
My goal is a 5K. That's my goal. I'm doing eight-week. I actually hate running and I hate working out without a purpose. So I need a purpose. I've never ran a 5K. So yeah, I want to.
So
run
health,
5K.
Like long-term.
Yeah, like I said, I've been in denial. The beers are catching up. The food's catching up. I'm trying to.
Colfax Marathon. Eat Denver just not say that they take part in. You should do that.
Yeah.
Oh, aren't you gonna do the?
That's the.
It's like a relay marathon.
That's the one with Gold Spot.
Yeah,
he's sent out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it.
It's a goal. I'm half committed.
Okay.
Have committed.
I busted my foot this morning running. I'm like 30 pounds overweight. My feet weren't ready for it.
gotta ease.
Yeah.
But
I am easing.
I'm excited for you. We just had an article on Porch. Not that it pertains to you particularly, but we had an article on Porch Tricking about battling the beer belly. And so I think it's something that we all face.
I'm a solid case of the beer belly.
Yeah.
I love beer. And I had the shakes last night. I didn't have a beer.
Oh, wow.
It's not that dark. It's
okay.
Not that dark.
All right. Cool. Well, Snap, I really appreciate you joining us for this episode 32. It was really great.
I just thought of something. And before we finish up, I kind of want to put you guys on the spot, the Porch Drinking guys.
All right.
You know, when I took over as beverage director, it was roughly March last year. And we had a really fun party with Dogfish. And it was pretty much the first party that I did. It was called Beer to Drink Music To.
Yeah.
And part of the reason it was so fun is because you guys were there.
Yeah.
So we just recently signed up a couple days ago to do that party again this year. And last year was in the middle of a spring snowstorm. And I don't know. We had a good time. So I'm hoping you guys are going
to
come back for that.
We'd love to do that again.
Awesome.
And, you know, we love great music. We love pairing with you guys. Avanti does such a great job in terms of the culinary scene, mixing with the beer scene, and then also just fun in general. Whenever I have people come to town, I always recommend stopping by and checking you guys out.
We appreciate that.
Just such a cool experience. Great vibe, great people.
Stop by Ratio and Call the Arms because they both slay it.
Yes. Speaking of, it's going to be Ratio's second anniversary this weekend.
This weekend.
So.
Congrats, guys.
So we'd love
got some cool music on Saturday.
Love for people to come out and party with us.
Comedy on Friday.
That's right.
And
tapping some special beers.
Are you the headliner for the comedy night?
No, he's actually...
My Fergie set.
Fergie is headlining the Saturday night concert. So,
he's singing backup.
The Hunter rendition of Fergie.
Watch out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got Matt and Dan's emails. I'll cancel that real quick, and I'll fill in as Fergie.
Nope. All right, we got to get out of here. This is heading down a terrible road.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah,
thanks for coming on.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back soon to try a bunch of delicious stuff while listening to some great vinyl.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, everyone, have a great one. This has been the Porchcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and any of your listening devices. Follow us. And hit us up online if you have any questions or want us to talk about anything on the next episode. This has been episode 32 of the Porchcast. Thanks, Jesse and Hunter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Catch you next time.
Party on.